You are listening to Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl, Program 3, aired on Global Community Radio. My name is Nicole Garland. If you have to reach us, you may do so at intellectualthoughtsofateen@gmail.com. Also, if you missed any of the previous episodes or you would like more information about the show, that information can be found on intellectualthoughtsofateengirl.blogspot.com. So, the Baltimore Gay Pride Parade has been going on throughout the past week. So it has me thinking about the current challenges facing the LGBT community. So I've been actively engaging with some of the members of the LGBT community to gain a stronger understanding of the current situation, specifically on the view of transgender people. I spoke with my manager about some of these challenges, and she brought up the idea that the LGBT community of today is actively pushing for laws and regulations that support them. However, she did notice that they were coming off too strong, and due to that pushy stance, those looking from the outside may feel attacked. With that, she claims that taking a more understanding approach, tempered in mutual respect instead of aggressive protests and rallies, will go a long way towards eventually accepting the transgender community as a whole. With that said, I'd like to introduce my friend Nicole. Nicole is an active member of the LGBT community and a 21-year-old male-to-female transgender who has been living out of the closet for over 7 years. So hi, Nicole. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Just been recently I've been reading some books like The Witcher, The Last Wish. It's a pretty nice novel. Otherwise, I'm doing all right.
That's good. So I'd like to ask you a couple questions regarding the issues that the transgender community is being faced with today.
Of course. I'm always open to these kinds of discussions, as I have been.
So how do you feel about the LGBT community current active approach into accepting the community?
Well, if what you mean is current approach to creating acceptance throughout the country, then I do think it's tempered in positive intentions, but a lot of the practices we currently have are not cohesive to our goals. Specifically, one of the most common ones is I feel that current incarnation of gay pride is possibly more damaging than it is positive in effect to our current situation. The main reason is because gay pride in its current incarnation has the idea that people are born with the capacity or with the right to be proud of their homosexuality. That is a dangerous idea. The gay pride started off as a rallying cry during the Stonewall riots, and it wasn't the idea that they were proud to be gay. They were proud to be survivors and fighters of their rights, and those rights were for the right of homosexuality. Because of today, we take gay pride for granted. We simply say that I am proud of my homosexuality. But because of that, it creates a level of separation between us and those looking from the outside. It allows them to view us as an other, because when we view ourselves and identify ourselves solely by our gender, sexuality, we pretty much dehumanize ourselves through our own positive means.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who do not know what the cake case was, could you explain to us what that was about?
So the Supreme Court, I think maybe like 2 weeks ago, ruled in favor of a cake catering company in a case where a homosexual couple wanted a wedding cake done for them, but the company in question denied them that cake. The Supreme Court, well, in which this case went up to, ruled in favor of that company because, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact wording, but this is close enough, I believe, because any person with genuine religious belief has the right to deny a service due to those religious beliefs.
And do you agree with being religious, being able to deny services to homosexuals?
Of course not. However, we have to remember that this is a catering company. They have the right to deny anyone any service for any reason. Because of that, I feel the real issue here is not necessarily the ruling in question. The catering company is right. They have the right to deny the service because they're a catering company. However, due to the justification of it being by religious belief and not by proper business practices of that kind of workplace, this has created an entire new issue.
Is there anything else you want to bring up as far as what we've already talked about?
Oh, tons. For example, when it comes to this specific issue, I feel like the problem is that by making the issue a religious problem, it creates a sort of adversarial effect. The LGBT community feels attacked. They feel like they're being assaulted. Our rights are being taken away. And that's a dangerous proposition to make because this law, their judgment, if they simply stated that any company in the act of catering has the right to deny a service for any reason that the company holds up to, that's all it would have done. It may have made changes to the catering service practices, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. But because of this, it's now created a divide not only between the LGBT and religious organizations, but religious organizations and each other. And that's a lot of controversy that I think is really dangerous to have, because we really, in the end, should be approaching these matters not with the idea that the other that we are facing, that the people we're trying to convince to give us our rights, are our opponents, but instead equals to us. We are simply trying to make them understand the situation at hand, and making them adversaries is not cohesive to doing so.
Yeah. And do you agree with the LGBT's active approach to this situation?
No, I don't. Because the biggest problem, and I bring this up a lot when it comes to these kinds of debates, is that when you act in a way that is aggressive in nature in response, you act in a way that creates a villain. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court has just done that. Because their ruling was done in a direct form that creates an attack on the LGBT community, they have put themselves in the role of a villain. But for those who support their decision, an aggressive, offensive response only makes us look bad.
Mm-hmm. And have you spoken to the LGBT community about these issues?
Yeah, I have. I've gotten kicked out of a few communities for some of my views on these matters. Like, for example, I spoke out against the gay pride parade recently, and I got a lot of flack for it. But I feel the gay pride parade, though, again, tempered in positive intentions, is inherently a dangerous concept for us to be practicing in its current incarnation. Because when watch the parade, actively watch what is going on in the parade. Do you notice anyone bringing up the culture, bringing up the history, bringing up any aspect of their identity besides their sexuality? Or besides the idea that they are celebrating the fact that they can express their sexuality? No. Mm-hmm. Look at any other parade. Even if it is just through caricatures, every other parade in the U.S. celebrates history, public figures of representation, or some aspects or struggle that has allowed us to reach our current point. Mm-hmm. The LGBT community is not having a parade. It's having a victory lap. And because of that, it creates a view from those looking outside that we are spoiled or that we are an other. Mm-hmm. That the issues we face are not human issues, but gay issues. Mm-hmm. Which means that anything that they propose in terms of law or in terms of suppression of rights, they view it doesn't affect them.
Yeah, and I don't understand why there's a gay pride events, but not transgender events. Why is that?
That's a little bit more complex. First, you have to understand a couple things. First, specifically with men, a third of all men, at least, are homosexual. Mm-hmm. And this has been consistent, well-known fact. And they've been fighting for their rights for God, Jesus, like almost a century now. By that fact alone, you can't deny that many people those rights for that long. The reason that there's a gay pride parade is because, let's be honest, according as far as the majority of the country is concerned, homosexuality is relatively normal. There wouldn't be backlash against the cake thing if it wasn't majorly considered an acceptable practice to be homosexual. Mm-hmm. But then, so you have the key practices, key standards of homosexuality being accepted as part of our country's traditions, there being a large portion of homosexuals in the country, and them already having earned the basic rights that they requested. Not all of them, of course, but the most basic ones. Mm-hmm. That means they pretty much earned the right to have their parade. Transgenders, on the other hand, are a much more current problem. When it comes to the LGBT community, back in the 80s and stuff, transgender wasn't really a thing. If you look into like the Firestarter movement, that was one of the very first acts of transgender awareness in the US. And that was during like the 60s and 70s. Far before homosexuality was, like far before transgender even was a word in our public eye. In fact, transgender rights haven't really even been a public concept until around like mid-2000s at best. And then you take the fact that there are so few of us. Only 2% of the US population is transgender. That is such a small margin that it is hard to be able to create strong public backing. And given that we don't really have a lot of our rights, and around Tucson, like for example, I could be denied my job if for being transgender. I could be fired today because of the way I identify. And if I were to quit my job, which I wouldn't, it's a nice job, I dispatch tow trucks. If I were to quit it and try and find another, I might not find a job. I might have to move to another state and hope for the best over there.
And how do you feel about that?
It sucks. It really does. Because I don't like the idea of being denied work. Even though I have the experience, I have the credentials, I have the work experience, and I have the drive to do my best. But at the same time, gotta understand, because there's so few of us, we're considered by a lot of folks an oddity, an outsider, because we are so out of the norm. And by that understanding, when it comes like small businesses, or local businesses, or businesses whose major clientele are more conservative in nature, if they were to hire me, there's a good chance that they would lose everything because of it. And I understand that. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But I understand the politics behind it. Even if they're good people and they want to help me out, they couldn't hire me full-time, or even part-time, because they still have to take care of their own families. They have employees that rely on that job, where hiring me is too much of a risk to take.
So companies are more afraid to ruin their reputations than to hurt another human being's feelings?
Well, you have to look more beyond feelings. You have to look by the fact that these are still human beings with lives, families, responsibilities, hopes, and dreams. And me coming into that, there's only really a couple options. First, they take the chance because I'm a mutual human being and they respect my needs as well. But they risk their own needs. They risk their own business, their own hopes, dreams, their families, their current standing, their current economic capabilities in order to help me out. Or they just don't give me the job. Mm-hmm. And they hire someone who's a bit more in line with their clientele.
You are listening to Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl, Program Theory, aired on Global Community Radio. If you have any comments or feedback you would like to add to this discussion, it can be emailed at intellectualthoughtsof18@gmail.com. Anything you want to know more about the show, or if you missed part of this episode and you wanted to catch up later, all that information is on intellectualthoughtsof18.blogspot.com. And now back to our discussion. So do you think there is a way to soften the public's eye into accepting the transgender community?
Yes, there is. And it's not one that a lot of people want to go through. But we have to, we pretty much have to lay low, stay calm, and gain their understanding. We have to play the long game here. A lot of people I've seen want to go in the short approach. They want to get their rights. They want to rise up and let people see them, make their voices heard. But instead, all that's going to do is create more distrust, more violence, and make us view the villain because we're forcing ourselves upon society.
Yeah.
In my opinion, we should be approaching this by teaching others, by creating an understanding that when they see us, they're not seeing a transgender, transsexual freak. They're just seeing a human being. By teaching others about the situations, by creating discussions that encourage empathy and understanding and mutual relationships between these two distinct groups, we can further progress both sides.
Yeah, our my manager spoke to me about the a solution to the community to bring more understanding and more respect from both sides. Do you agree that that's a appropriate approach to getting the public eye to accepting the transgender community?
Of course I do. Now, I do feel that it's a difficult challenge. Again, we have such a small portion of the population that the act of trying to teach people about us can be regressed instantly through one major scandal. Like, but it's worth attempting. It's worth the effort. Because if we do this, and we as not just a collective, but as individuals, try and make an effort to teach people about each other and make them understand each other, then we can help grow a culture of respect. Mm-hmm. Now, on that note, I do feel like to do this is hard because you have to be willing to take a lot of criticism. You have to be willing to take a lot of flack. And you have to be willing to endure insult and injury and upset. But it's better than some of the other approaches I've seen to solving these issues. In California, back in, I believe, 2008, a group of the LGBT community attempted to pass a bill where it would be illegal for anyone to not properly identify a person in question by their preferred gender. Now, if this bill passed, you might think, well, that's a big boon. They actually have to identify me by what I prefer, which would encourage my self-esteem, would prevent gender dysphoria, and would assist in creating a culture that recognizes gender identity as a more diverse subject than is currently understood, than most people currently assume. Well, in my opinion, you'd probably be wrong, because what you're doing is you're first of all creating a law that no good lawyer would probably be willing to enforce, because you are simply going to court saying, they called me names, which isn't really a realistic kind of claim. Secondly, you are forcing other people to change in a way they find unreasonable, which all that does is vilify transgenders. And because there are so few of us, any vilifications made could regress years of progress.
Yeah, of course. And do you believe that in our country, do you believe that we're a little bit more accepting of the LGBT community as a whole versus other countries?
To be perfectly honest, I really don't know a whole lot about that, specifically on the European side or the Canadian side. I do know that we are much more accepting than Russia, where as far as I understand, and please, if anyone listening believes me to be wrong, feel free to comment. I am not the most educated in this field, but as far as I understand, transgenders and homosexuals are not existent. You're not allowed to say that they exist. And that's pretty nuts. At least here, like, transgender law, like law may be against me in Arizona, but common practice is very for me. I can still get my hormone medication. I can still get gender-affirming surgery here. I don't know if I could in other countries. And hell, I don't even know if I could in some other states. I know there are a lot of states that are still incredibly offensive toward transgenders and homosexuals alike. It's very hard to say.
My manager in a previous conversation when we were talking about this subject and how to bring it up, she had mentioned that Alabama, if you walked down the street and was holding hands with someone who was the same sex as you, or if you guys were transgender, you guys would be put in jail. How do you go about bringing awareness to Alabama like that to make things more accepting over there?
So, this is not going to be easy to say. The easiest way to make people aware and, more importantly, empathize with the situation there is to not get angry about it. Instead, you want to bring it up as a sob story. You want to make people sympathize with them as victims. And I know no one likes to be pitied. No one likes that. But pity comes before empathy. You can't understand how someone feels unless you feel sorry for them first. Mm-hmm. Well, not in all cases, but in this case, it does apply. And it's just something where I feel that whenever these kind of conflicts happen, when we go and do a huge angry protest, it regresses. It makes the conflict feel inconsequential. But when we instead make a public statement that is not aggressive in nature, we can create a stronger understanding and a stronger empathy response in people. And this is specifically for those in Alabama. It's their responsibility to make that statement. Mm-hmm. Because you have to understand that if it's not done on the local level, then no one on the national level will care. Mm-hmm. And if it's only done on a national level, those on the local level will just view it as an outside issue.
Do you think that the public community needs to be more culturally aware of the transgender and the LGBT community?
Well, I would like to say yes, but on that note, it's our responsibility to do so. We are not a new breed. We have been here throughout human history, but we are an unknown culture. We are people that are not well represented, but it's our responsibility to create that representation. No one else is going to do it. So if you want people to understand what you've been through, where you've come from, the history of the people that came before us, it's your responsibility as a transgender person or as a person who understands transgender history to teach and to learn.
And who would you want to be representing the transgender and the LGBT community?
Anyone. Anyone with the drive to make change can do it. I remember there was that the politician who just got promoted into Senate. I don't remember her name, but she beats a hugely homophobic senator, and she's one of the first transgender Senate makers. Or I think the first, sorry. And I think that's a great forward move. If more people like her with their drive and the passion to make change step up, more importantly, if you go into the public eye, if any one of you make it into the spotlight, you can make a change. That's all it takes.
How do you feel the LGBT community is being represented, or the transgender people being represented in the LGBT community?
Oh, well, admittedly, granted, this does vary because I understand that there is no unified sort of diction for these communities. There's no unified form. But in my experience in Tucson, Arizona, very poorly. I've spoken to a lot of people across Reddit social groups for transgender people, and across the country in the U.S., it's consistently poor. For both transgenders and bisexuals, the representation is incredibly low. I've gone to multiple LGBT groups where I was the only transgender and I was almost run out because I was transgender. In my high school, I was bullied by people part of the LGBT community because they thought that I was pretending. And this is an issue I see consistently still being brought up. And again, it's not a matter that we can change easily. It's not a matter we can change quickly. But it is a matter of misunderstandings and miscommunications and a lack of respect on both sides. So it is our time to make the initiative. When these things happen, do not stay silent. Don't let it fly by because you think it's normal or you think it's okay, because it's not. But don't get angry. Remember, they're still human beings. They're still people. And understand that. Instead, take an empathetic and understanding approach to teach people about yourself and about transgenders as a whole.
So within the LGBT community, there is sort of a non-acceptance between homosexuals and transgenders?
It's kind of a joke because it's the LG, but not T, is the joke that a lot of the transgender communities have been to, will say. Because bisexuals and trans just are considered separate, different, exclusive. And because of the excessive focus on exclusivity in the LGBT community as a whole, this is a problem. A lot of our policies and a lot of our current cultural focus is on creating an exclusive club for lesbians and gays, and then the secondary focus is on creating another set of exclusive club for bisexuals and trans. That's messed up.
Yeah, so you think that the main issue here is about exclusivity and non-acceptance?
I think non-acceptance comes through exclusivity. Because a lot of our practices today create an idea of uniqueness and specialty among those of the gay community and the lesbian community and the trans community as well, it makes an idea that we're different, we're unique, we're special inherently, which creates distrust and a lack of understanding and empathy between each other. Mm-hmm. And between those looking from the outside, which can only divide us. Instead, we should focus more on creating ideas and cultural standings and practices that allow everybody to come in. Anyone should be able to discuss these matters, regardless if they agree with it or not. As long as we do so in a way that is cohesive, is public, and is non-violent in nature. The more people who talk about these issues, the more people will come to understand them. Even if those people who are talking disagree with our ideas, disagree with the rights of the LGBT, that's okay. Let people talk. Encourage the discussion. And encourage inclusivity. Because in the end, we're not trans, gay, lesbian, or bi. We're human.
Are there any final thoughts you have before we end the show about this?
Last thing I want to say is, remember, every person is valid and every person is valuable. So, and that goes not only for those of you of the minorities of our country and of our world, but for those on the outside looking in. We're all human beings. And you should always remember the human element whenever considering any of these topics.
Wow. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you for being on the show and telling us your side on the transgender community's views.
Of course. I'm happy to be here.
All right. You are listening to Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenaged Girl, Program 3. If you had any comments or feedback to the show, I'd love to hear it at intellectualthoughtsofateengirl@gmail.com. If you missed the show and you just you just came in halfway through the show, that's all right too. All that information with the podcast information is on my website at intellectualthoughtsof18girl.blogspot.com. This is Community Radio, and my name is Nicole Garland.